Good morning, church. I want to invite you to take a moment of sacred quiet and invite the Holy Spirit to open your life to God's presence and to give you a willingness to receive and respond to whatever God's Spirit speaks into you today. Would you do that? Let's do it. Amen. Thank you for doing that. Sometimes we hear a sermon and we check out, we go into neutral, and God wants our hearts and our minds to be engaged because somewhere in these words, the Spirit of God can whisper and prompt, and we hear a word, we receive a word that God desperately wants us to take into ourselves this day and for this new week. Well, as a young person, I participated in the Boy Scouts of America. It was a great experience for me. I looked forward to Tuesday evening troop gatherings. I attended summer camp and even served on the staff of Camp Tuscazor. I worked on rank advancement and attained my Eagle Award in 1976. At the core of scouting are the Scout Oath and Scout Law. These are recited to remind scouts of the values and character to be affirmed and developed by a scout. The story of scouting is compressed into the oath and 12 points of the Scout Law to serve as a rudder that guides young men and women as they move into adulthood. These things are like a creed. The Apostles' Creed is similar. It is the compressed gospel, the condensed Jesus story, and is meant, as I said last week, to serve as a guiding rudder, a formative compass that leads me to fidelity and allegiance to Jesus above all other persons, parties, and pursuits that would seek my allegiance or worship. This is why the creed begins with, "I believe." We're driving a stake in the ground. We're proclaiming our alignment with our allegiance to King Jesus. Today, I want us to look and think about the incredible statement, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." These first words clearly define the creed as a Christian creed. If it had simply said, "I believe in God, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth," it could be an Islamic or Jewish creed. But what makes the Apostles' Creed distinct and even a major breakthrough is that it begins by affirming God as Father. Think about this. If you were asked to give a 30-second summation of Christianity, what would your first words be? Where would you begin? The creed begins with God as Father, and this underscores the essential truth that God is relational, that God exists in relationship. We talk about the Trinitarian nature of God, that God is three persons in one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God exists in and within a mutually self-giving community of unconditional love. Let me say that again. God exists in and within a mutually self-giving community of unconditional love. Now, that may sound like nothing more than White Tower theological babble, but here's the wondrous and life-transforming truth. You and I, and indeed all people, are invited into to live our lives within this divine community of mutual self-giving love. We're invited in to the Trinity itself. Perhaps you remember saying to someone, "Man, I've never experienced a love like this before." Folks, songs have been written about this stuff, right? What were you saying? You were in a relationship with someone, a relationship characterized by a depth of love that had captured your attention and invited you into it. Perhaps that relationship progressed to the point that one day, in a ceremony attended by family and friends, you declared your exclusive, lifelong commitment and allegiance to this other person. In other words, you got hitched. And of course, throughout the Bible, marriage is a metaphor for the amazing relationship of intimate love which our triune God invites us into as well. Now that's the marriage metaphor. The creed says, Father. The point here is the proclamation of the essential relational nature of God toward you and me. Jesus refers to God as Abba, Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cries out, Abba, an Aramaic word we translate Father. But it is much deeper. It denotes deep relational intimacy. Prior to Jesus' use of Abba, Father, for God, God had never been referred to in this deeply intimate manner. Jesus introduces us to Abba, God who is our Abba. This is such a beautiful way for the creed to begin. It's inviting, relational, intimate. If it began with, I believe in God the Almighty, that might be true, and indeed it would be true, but it makes a whole different emphasis than Father. One of the great memories I have of my dad is a vacation on Walloon Lake near Petoskey. I was young and still improving my swimming skills. My dad was in deeper water. His arms and hands were outstretched. He was calling me to swim to him. When I reached him, he grabbed a hold of me under my arms and lifted me out of the water. And what I love about this memory is the huge smile I still can see on his face and his joyous laughter that I can still hear and still speaks to me today of how much he welcomed me, how much he loved me. It's so deeply impactful to be loved like this. This is our Abba. Someone has said that affirming God as Father is the beginning alphabet of Christian faith. I like that. Friends, we do indeed begin with affirming, I believe in God, the Father, our Father. God is relational, invitational, the one calling, longing for us to enter the joy and holy laughter of relational intimacy with Him. To this day, I find it so sad that people who have faithfully attended worship all their lives sometimes do not know this relational intimacy with God. They believe in God. They even affirm that God is love. And yet they find themselves at some level in a disconnect between their mental assent to the love of God and their experience of this beloved and joyous intimacy. C.S. Lewis speaks about this in his book, The Weight of Glory. He describes this scenario, writing, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased," Lewis concludes. We are far too easily pleased. Can I ask, does Lewis describe your relationship with God? You are too easily satisfied with your relationship with God? Oh, I believe in God. Sure, God is love, but what's your point? I have other loves in my life more satisfying than God and religion could ever be. Friends, such other loves, such other allegiances are mere mud puddles in comparison to the joy of swimming into the arms of God, our Abba, and being lifted up by Him as we shriek with joy and gaze upon God's smiling, welcoming face and hear the laughter of His love for us. I believe in God the Father. Now God is more, right? We proclaim Almighty. God holds all power. This means nothing is too difficult for God. But here again, we condition this proclamation with what comes before it. Fatherhood denotes love, tenderness, nurture, and protection. Almighty denotes power, strength, authority, and might. The two, Father and Almighty, beautifully complement one another. God has all power, but He exercises it in a way that reveals His love and compassion for us. Now, you and I are living in a time when we're seeing power and authority being abused. Whether peaceful protesters being forcefully struck with shields and batons, tear gas, or call it pepper balls if you want, rubber bullets, so that the president can walk to a church for a photo op and show how he can dominate the streets. And friends, if that offends you, I invite you to read retired Marine Corps General and recent Secretary of Defense James Mattis's op-ed in The Atlantic. It is power and authority abusively used. Police officers with knees on the necks of people crying out, "I can't breathe," and dying as a result. It's power and authority abusively used. Many of you remember very clearly the unraveling of Richard Nixon's presidency. You may have been an ardent supporter. Many were. But as the truth came out, we realized the abuse of power and authority. Billy Graham, a close and avid defender of Richard Nixon, stated that after listening to the Nixon tapes, he literally vomited and wept for several days. Power and authority can be abused, especially when untethered to the second great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. I will add here, too, that love and compassion can turn into sappy sentimentalism when untethered to power and authority. In God, these attributes are held in perfect harmony. In these days of disturbing acts of power abused, protests in our streets demanding the powers that be to act justly for all, I am glad that I can stand with those voices, but even more I can stand knowing that God is on the side of justice and mercy for all. As we stand up, we know we are not alone. God has already been standing. We're just joining Him in what He's already been seeking, His intimate love for all and His authority and power call to our society to act justly, to love mercy, to love our neighbor, to repent from our sin, to be a reformed and reforming people, to transform the systems of power that they are more just for more people, and to walk humbly with our God. We believe in God, the Father Almighty. And this God, friends, is no tribal, segregated to our neck of the woods God. This God, the Creed proclaims, is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. So whether I am on the Grand River of Michigan, the Olentangy River of Ohio, the Great Amazon River of South America, the Nile River of North Africa, the Yalu River of China and the Korean Peninsula, or the Danube River of Europe, the one and the same God, the Father Almighty, is the Creator of them all. When I view the night stars from anywhere in the world, the same God is their Creator. With the psalmist, we affirm, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you have set in place. I am planning a multi-day canoe trip on the Ossabaw River for October. I know that every day and night I will soak in the majesty, beauty, and wonder all around me, and the creed will whisper to me, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. This is not an anti-science of evolution statement. No, it simply affirms that behind the amazing complexity of evolution and the millennia of years is the creative, artistic, mathematical, biological, physics-knowing, genome-creating God. Years ago, I was walking with my scientist brother one evening. We were having a conversation about God, and I remember him saying to me, Dan, I have no doubt there is a God. I only have to see the wonder and complexity of the creation to know that there has to be a God behind this. My friends, this God is not the unmoved mover of Greek philosophy. This God is all about relationships of intimate love with his creation and with you, with me, with all people, even those who seem the most distracted and disinterested, even with those whose knees are on a black man's neck. He is the God of politicians who abuse power. He is the God of redeeming and life-giving love, but not a sappy love. No, God is not my personal chaplain, nor is he your celestial valet committed to doing your bidding to satisfy your every whim and demand. No, this God will not be shaped into your or my image. This God is seated on a throne. He is the sovereign and eternal King. And we, made in his image, are to be formed and transformed by that image so the world will see us and say, man, when I'm around you, I want to know the God you know. Friends, this God of the Creed is for us. He is for you. He is for all people. He is for his creation, that it and all who live within it might flourish. The psalmist rightly proclaims in Psalm 100, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I invite you, as you are able, to stand and join with me as we again proclaim the creed that is to form our lives, this creed of the church, saying together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. And now, O God, our Father, lover of our souls, God of plenteous grace, God who pours out his presence like a river of healing love and justice, O God, come to us, abide with us and within us. Form and fashion us into your very image that the world, through our worship and compassion, through our devotion and justice, will taste and see your loving kindness. Whatever keeps us from swimming in the fullness of your love, we ask that you expose it and excise it. whatever sin that blinds us into thinking mud pies and puddles are our joyous destiny. In your love, convict us that we might repent and align our allegiances with you and with your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. And together, all God's people said, amen and amen.